Blog Talk Radio.
And Boogie Track. Yeah, K Boogie. I ain't even gonna do no intro on this one.
This is Deja Vu, and you're listening to GQ Palace Radio,
Love and Entertainment.
Yo, what up? What up? Peace, world. This your boy, Mellow Man 8, and right now you got it locked on GQ Palace Radio, You are now tuned in. GQ Palace Radio, entertainment, with your host, Rich Money, don't keep it locked.
Kevsky, and you're listening to GQ Palace. Let's go.
This is Elias, and you're listening to GQ Palace Radio. Follow me.
Yo, what's good? This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. You know the golden era of hip hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Grand Agent, GrandAgent.net, Real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GQ Palace, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Let's do it.
Yeah, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, Mikey D, a.k.a. Playboy Mikey D, a.k.a. Mikey D Structure, formerly of Main Source in the L.A. Posse, currently with Elements of Death. Y'all already know what it is. Right now, you're tuned in to GQ Palace. Keep it locked, locked.
Hey, yo, check this out. I go by the name of Mr. Susie, and I'm chilling with my dog, Rich Money, man. And we're on the live station right now. GQ Palace Radio. Let's get it.
Party at. Got that 9-9 black in a gallon of yak. Rip wash some wax from the front to back. The homie Mike G told me that I got it like that.
What?
Fresh to death like a million sacks. The whole squad ain't nothing but pimps and max. Yeah. And shorty pulls up with the crazy lash and set. All I wanna know is where the party at.
Let's go.
What's going on, Dons and Divas? I am your host, Rich Money, and I want to thank y'all all for tuning in once again. We supposed to have my man, Arthur Nye's son, on. I'm trying to find out what's going on with him and, you know, if he tuned in or not. Press the one button if you're tuned in, but you know how Rich Money do. I don't procrastinate or stall for nothing. I do what I got to do. But before we even get started, we want to give a rest in peace. It was a shootout in Texas in a school. As far as I know of a teacher, and I think now they found a dead, you know, a crash on the school bus. There's so much going on in the world today. Life is too short. So I'm just saying enjoy yourself. What we want to do right now is give a moment of silence to those children in Texas. All right, y'all, we back. Like I said, I'm your host, Rich Money. Thank y'all for tuning in. Nye's son, the author, is supposed to be coming on. I don't know where he at. Nye, if you're on the line, press the one button. But what we're going to do is we're going to get into a little music real fast, give him some time to tune in. If you don't tune in, then we're just going to take it to the next step, which will be tune in next weekend. I'm going to keep it real with you. You know, I don't pack no punches. I don't fake no jacks. We're going to get into this joint by Pokey Bear, my side piece. This joint right here is fire. Remember when you heard it. GQ Palace Radio, Love Entertainment. Butterfly.
Hello, it's Daddy. Hey, darling, what's mommy on the phone? Yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look, I ain't never coming home no more. Take it easy.
My bad, y'all. My bad. I was still tuned in to that joint. That was side piece by my man Pokey Bear. That joint right there is fire. He's definitely taking it to another level with that joint right there. I want to get into this another joint real fast. I'm going to give Nas Son another chance to call in to let me know what's going on. But this next joint I'm going to get into is called... it's called Swingers by my man Tucker featuring Dougie Fresh. Remember where you heard it first, GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment. I'm a little under the weather, y'all, so y'all got to forgive me. Remember where you heard it first, GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Doug E. Fresh, and I'm here with my man, the king of swing, Tucker, and we're about to put it down.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is the Swingers Anthem. Grab your partner, get on the dance floor, and I'm gonna do what I do.
Fresh about the shower, been waiting all week long. About to spend some dollars, can't wait to get it on. I'm stepping out tonight. Looking in the mirror, how damn clean as a whistle. First call for alcohol, I need to get some liquor.
Check it out. Yo, just
Just last week I got the invitation. Come one, come all to the swingers ball. High rollers united. Honey's excited. I was delighted because I was invited. It was announced on the radio and heard through speakers. No hoodies, hats, caps, boots, or sneakers. Come in peace or you'll be leaving in pieces. You can wear jeans with your permanent creases. Cease to resist, staring in the mirror, grinning. Diamonds are shining, baby, still winning. Crocs and gators, love for haters. Trainers, waiters, they're the ones that made us greater.
Divas, welcome back to Love Entertainment with your host, Rich Money. Storm is taking care of some business, but what we're going to do, we're going to get into it right now. We got my man, Nas Son, on the scene. Nas Son, are you there?
Peace. I'm good.
What's going on, man? You got a lot of things going on, man. You got a whole lot of things going on.
Yeah, so they say.
Now, yeah, you know what it is. You know what it's about. Now, first, I want you to let the listeners know, how did you come up with that name, Nah Son? What does that represent?
It's funny how you're asking me that question. We're on the same wavelength because I was thinking about, how did I come up with my name? I came up with my name because you heard of the football player Nelson Moreno. He used to play for the Broncos and Miami Dolphins. But anyway, I thought his name was Fly, Nelson Moreno. So, you know, his father's name was Knowledge, and his mother's name was Sean. So he put Nelson together. So when you sound out the word knowledge, nah, that's where you get nah from, knowledge, nah, knowledge. But I didn't think that K N O W sounded right, so I put the N A H apostrophe S U N because I shine like the sun. So it's the shine of knowledge, not sun. That's where you get not sun from.
Okay. Now let me ask you something. Does it have any incorporation with like the five percenters or the Muslim or anything like that? That's something you just came up with.
No, I come from various schools of thought. You know, I have knowledge itself, and I'm familiar with the lessons. At the same time, I'm well-rounded. You know, I'm enrolled in various colleges and the university called life. So, yeah, I have knowledge itself. That's why I know that I shine through the darkness, through the eclipse that try to darken my shine, so to speak.
Okay, I definitely feel you on that one. Now, what made you want to become an author? I want to get into, because you got a lot of books out right now. Now, what made you want to become an author?
Well, when I was in the fourth grade, well, I didn't know how to draw. I draw like I'm right-handed, but I was drawing like I had two left hands. But pretty much in the fourth grade, I won $25 from writing an essay about Malcolm X. And I bought a Clark Kent outfit. So I figured if I was good enough to beat out all the students in my elementary school on a fourth grade level to win this money, then I may be on to something. So I went from that essay to writing cartoons because I couldn't draw. I used to write episodes, like bang out episodes every day. And I went from that to writing short stories. Then I went from that to poetry, then from poetry to becoming an MC. That's why you, when you read my books, it sounds like I'm rhyming. Like, when I write, I just don't write. I perform when I write, like I'm on stage. I write my stories like I'm writing rhymes, like the cadences. Like, if I do, like, an open mic to read out certain passages of my book, it sounds like I'm rhyming. It got, like, a cadence to it. It got, like, a rhythm, a flow to it.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, your novels I got here, Thick When the Chances Are Slim, Thick in the Nick of Time, In the Thick of Things, Thick Girls and the Guys Who Love Them, and You, Me, Us, Them, and the Swinger Chronicles. What's the difference between each one of those?
In general, my best book is You, Me, Us, Them, the Swinger Manifesto. I changed it from Chronicles to Manifesto because anybody can write a chronicle. But to write a manifesto, it's pretty much, I'm using the book to vet people, to introduce people into the lifestyle, into the swinger lifestyle. But pretty much, my best book is You, Me, Us, Them, the Swinger Manifesto, because, you know, with my thick books, I was a good writer, but I really didn't know how to craft a story. You know, it's like that freestyler. You can freestyle all day, but you don't know how to make a song. You don't know how to make a hit song. So with those four books in the Thick series, you know, it was like I was a freestyle artist. I knew how to put the erotic scenes down pat. I knew how to character develop, but I didn't know how to craft a story that would make people want to read more, like the twists and turns and let me see what's going to happen next. So with this You, Me, Us, Them, the Swinger Manifesto, I'm like a freestyle artist who knew how to make a hit song, who know how to make an actual song that people could dance to. So you're going to see how I sharpen my sword with this book, with You, Me, Us, Them. Mm. So you're going to see the growth and development of me as an author.
Okay. I just want to bring somebody on real fast. They got something they want to ask you. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hey.
How are you guys? Well, I have a couple of questions because, like, you sound
on. Excuse me, Queen. What's your name?
T. I'm T.
Okay, T, where you from?
I'm from North Carolina.
Okay, North Carolina. All right, I may move to Charlotte or Raleigh in the near future, so be on the lookout for me.
You won't be far from me then. I'm in Winston-Salem, so hey.
Ow. So what concerns you have?
First, I want to know, what inspired you to become an author?
I'm gonna give you part two of that question.
Okay.
Well, I had the charm. I used to write girls' poems. So.
Okay.
If I figure I can make money off my writings, but if I could write the panties off of women, then I may be onto something.
Woo!
player, boy, I tell you. Drop bombs on them.
You know what? My editor said, she said that when a woman reads my latest book, You, Me, Us, Them, if they don't get hot under the collar from the sex scenes, then they're dead. So.
Well, I might need to get that book. Maybe it'll liven me up a little bit.
Wait, say it again. I think I lost track of that one right there. You said
I said maybe I need to read that book.
Might
make Stella get her groove back.
Well, it's an orgasm between pages, that's for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where can I get this book at?
It's only on ebook because you know people act. Yeah, it's on ebook because people act like they're allergic to paperbacks. They act like they're allergic to dead trees.
Well, now, I'll hit ebook up too now. Now, ain't nothing but a thing.
Okay, so you can get my ebook at on my website at www.nasunblaze.com. Or to make it easy for you, just Google my name. Just Google Nasun, N-A-H apostrophe S-U-N. And next to my name, type in you, me, us, them. You, me,
you,
us, them.
You, me, us, yeah.
Yes, you, me, us, them. You, me,
wow,
us, them.
Wow, that's a lot of people. So where did you come up with your idea, sweetie?
Well, I came up with my idea from my life experience. You know,
okay.
Well, with this book, I'm currently in the lifestyle. So I figured I may write about it, but not from a superficial
mm-hmm.
standpoint, because people talk about the intimate part. It's easy to write erotic scenes, but with my book, I wanted to take it deeper. I wanted to write about the psychology of people in the lifestyle, like the ins and outs of the lifestyle. It's like I have one character in the lifestyle. He's fighting, he's struggling with his religion while as a swinger. You feel me? Because there are people in the swinger lifestyle who are Muslims, Christians, 5%ers, Rastafarians,
Black
Panthers, Hebrews, Jews. So it's pretty much, I'm giving you a mental makeup of people in the lifestyle because it's not all about sex. You know, it's
true.
The community. You have like bowling nights, you have movie nights. And then you have to be wired to see another person have sex with your loved one. And how are you gonna deal with that? How are you gonna feel about that? You know,
I show you how
it feels when your mate cheat on you. You know, you're supposed to be in the lifestyle and everything is supposed to be an open book, but why are you lying and you're in the lifestyle? That's like robbing a bank when you're a trillionaire.
Wow,
you can just keep it real. So I pretty much show you beyond the sex. I go to the core beneath the surface of the good and bad and the naughty of the lifestyle, of the swinger lifestyle.
That is deep.
Seriously,
I definitely like hands down and applause to you, sweetie. Like, you got it going on, and I definitely want to read something from you because you like, explain everything to the point. And I definitely want to commend you on, you know, your upcoming books, the books that you already have and everything. And that's why I definitely called in tonight because I want to hear some of your points and, you know, ideas and everything like that. And I definitely want to commend you on the great job that you're doing.
No respect. This book, You, Me, Us, Them, is over 500 pages, almost 600 pages, because I wanted to make sure you get your pennies worth. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you don't have to pitch pennies.
And you know what? Honestly, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a reader, but I do want to read that because I'm going through a few things, and I feel like that will help me to end the questions, the drama, the depression, whatever I'm going through. I feel like that's going to help me reach my point of view.
Listen, all I'm going to say is that you don't need a vacation. You don't need a plane ticket to go on a vacation. All you have to do is one click, a few clicks, and then you experience your sex without penetration. So it's, I could be your therapist when you read the book. So, yes,
you better stop playing with me.
All you need, instead of paying somebody like $50 by the hour, $100 by the hour, all you need is 9.99. Because not only you gonna get education, but you're gonna get entertainment. So it's edutainment, is what
I call it.
Well,
see, you already told me you're moving close to me, so now I might have to holler. I mean,
ow.
Rick's money, so, you better tell him.
you gotta know, seriously.
I definitely want to commend you. I want to congratulate you on all that you're doing, because even with the whatever Rich Money is asking you, you're coming back 100% strong of explaining why and what you're trying to do and help everyone. And I appreciate that, and I just want to give much love to you. Keep up the good work and do the damn thing.
Thank you. I appreciate the love and respect
no problem.
And support.
No problem.
Now, let me ask you. Would you feel like people might judge you on account of your books being sexualized, or do you feel like they might see you as being a therapist on sex and relationships?
Well, it's how you carry yourself. It's not what you do, it's how you go about doing it, because I drop jewels in the midst of the erotic talk. You know, it's like my writing style, I make sure I put some nuggets in the book. You know, it's just not trash. It's just not sex, 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 sex. I drop knowledge in the book, and I hit people not only on a spiritual level, but also in a mental and emotional level. I put both thoughts. Because it's easy to write a million sex scenes, but it's not easy to captivate people and make people think. With this book, You Meet Us Them, The Swinger Manifesto, I'm not striving to convert people into becoming swingers. I'm not striving to make you agree with what I do and what other people do. I just want you to see the other side of the fence of my world and destroy a lot of preconceived notions and misconceptions about swingers, because we're not savage. We're not sex crazed. We're everyday people. I met doctors, lawyers, judges, freaking nurses, school teachers. It's all walks of life, because you never know what people do behind closed doors. And because the swinger and the swinger lifestyle has become so commercialized, I wanted to write a book to shatter the stereotypes. So that's why when I write my book about the swinger lifestyle, it's not just about sex. I'm bringing you a front row seat to the life of each character in my book.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, because you got a couple of novels out. Does writing energize you or make you exhausted at some point?
I have to feel it. Like I'm not a writer who could bang out a million books in 3 weeks. You know, I give myself a 9-month deadline. Like I have to feel what I'm writing. You know, I have to feel it. You know, so if I don't feel it, I'm not writing. And secondly, I think I low key have ADD. So I write my books according to how I would like to read a book. In other words, the pace of the story is real fast. You know, it's fast-paced. I don't like any dry spots. I don't like to be bored when I read. So when I go over my manuscript, and if I'm bored, then I would delete it or add something spicy to the storyline. So I write in a rhythm. If I don't feel it, I'm not going to force it. But if I got that itch that needs to be scratched, then I'm going to go all out.
I feel you. Now, let me ask you something, speaking in general, as an author, do you feel like a big ego helps or hurts a writer?
Say that again.
As being an author, do you feel like a person with a big ego helps or hurts a writer?
You said an ego?
Yeah, big ego. A big ego.
Okay. Of course. Like, when I write, I'm the greatest writer of all time. You know, you need that energy. Like, if you're not striving to be the greatest, then what you striving to be? You know what I'm saying? If I could be the best version of who I want to be, I'm not competing with anybody. I'm competing with myself. I'm fighting against my brain power to come up with a page turner. But if I'm not striving to be the best at my profession, then there's no reason for me to pick up a pen and pad or hit up my laptop or hit up my phone and bang out these books. It's like, what's the point? You know, I want to be the Michael Jordan of this. I don't want to be the 12th man on the bench, not get playing time. If you're not going to do it right, don't do it. Then don't do it at all. You dig?
yeah, so I feel you, but do you feel like that?
Excuse me?
But do you feel like that? Do you feel like the ego, do it helps or do it hurt a writer?
It helps. It helps me. Like, when I'm writing, it helps me. It helps me. It only hurts you. Listen, it's a two-sided coin. You know, it's a two-sided coin because it can help. It can help because you put your best foot forward. But it can hurt if you got delusions of grandeur. If you think everything you're doing is hot, when that's not the case. It's like, that's my times when I write a scene and it's whack and I have to delete it. But the average person, they so caught up in their ego, they so caught up into themselves that they think it's hot. You know, so that's why when you read a lot of these books, it's read as if it's the rough draft because they're not critiquing themselves. Everything you write is not going to be hot. I'm going to tell you that.
Exactly.
Rewriting is a part of writing. So me, even though I project myself as the greatest of all time, at the same time, I got to be humble enough to say, look, this is not hitting. Delete this. Add this. This is going to put them asleep. This is going to excite them. So it's like a double-edged sword. To answer your question in totality, I would say it needs to be managed. Your ego needs to be managed because too much of anything is going to be unhealthy. It's got to be a balance. See, I'm a Libra, so automatically it's got to be balanced on a scale. You dig? It got to be 50-50.
Oh, of course. I'm a Libra too, so I know what you're saying.
Well, you already know.
Exactly.
October 7th, holla. And ladies, I'm accepting birthday gifts, early birthday gifts. I'm accepting
early birthday
gifts from the ladies.
Yeah, mine's on the 5th, so we right there.
My niece's birthday on the 5th. My niece's birthday on the 5th.
Oh,
all right. Anyway.
All right, so she definitely good people.
Yeah. You already know.
Now, let me ask you, Dawg, for sure. Do you try more to be original or to deliver the readers what they want when you write novels?
The word novel... Peak game. The word novel comes from the word novelty. And what's a novelty? A novelty is something different, you know, and the word author comes from the word authorization. So I'm authorizing a novel. I'm authorizing something new. So if I give everything, if I give people a cookie cutter of what everybody else is doing, then that contradicts everything that I'm doing. So I have no choice to give them something original. Even though there's no ideas original, everything has been written about. You can put your own flavor to it. You can remix it. You did. You can put your own style to it. It's like in the 80s when everybody was rocking a box. Big Daddy Kane had the Gumby. You did. Bobby Brown had the Gumby. You know, or when Big Daddy Kane saw Bobby Brown with the Gumby, Kane, he decided to put 3 cuts in his box to be different. And plus, I'm an MC.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I used to be an MC. So in the 90s, it was mandatory for you to come with a different style. Not like nowadays. If you sign somebody, you're going to get signed. But my pedigree is, if you sounded like another rapper, that was treason. You was getting slaughtered. You was getting ragged on by the homies. So I had no choice but to come different. And I used that philosophy into the book game.
I feel you. Definitely feel you. That's strong right there, fam. Now, do you want each one of your books to stand on its own, or are you trying to build a body of work with connection between each book?
Well, each book is going to stand on its own because it's like baking a cake. I don't want to make the same flavor. You know, some people may like a German chocolate cake. Some people may like the coconut cake. Some people may like a caramel cake. So it's like baking a cake. You got to give people different flavor because writing erotica, that's not the only thing I'm going to do. When I finish with this swing series, I plan on writing 5 books and a swing series. After I finish the swing series, I'm going to go into science fiction because I know how to write science fiction. I may write that under another name because I don't want that. It's for marketing purposes. because I don't want I don't want my science fiction books to overlap my erotica books. So I may use another name, but pretty much I want my books to stand on its own. It's like having kids. I don't have children, so these are my babies, and I want my babies to have their own identity and their own legacy.
Now, what makes Nas' son different from any other author that's out there?
Me? That's what makes me different. I have my own mind. You know, I put my own personality into my books because there's nobody like me except for me. Like I'm from Chicago, right? So when I was growing up, when everybody was rocking French braids and baldies, I was rocking locks. Now, in Chicago back then, a lot of people wasn't rocking locks. A lot of people wasn't rocking what they call dreadlocks. And, you know, I used to, a little kid get teased for it. They were like, yo, what you got them things on your head? What of them things on your head? Because they never really seen somebody on an everyday basis with locks. But now, when you go to Chicago, you see these young cats looking like Chief Keef because he got locks. So it goes to show that I'm not afraid to think outside the box. I'm not afraid to walk to my own beat, to my own rhythm. So what makes me unique is me, myself, my own DNA, because everybody on the planet has something unique about them. You just have to harness that and manifest that in whatever you do.
Okay. Now, did publishing your first book change your process of writing?
My first book, it taught me you got to entertain people. You got to entertain people. You know, when people read, they want to be entertained. You can't bombard them with you can't be too wordy. You know what I'm saying? You can't engage in intellectual masturbation. You know what I'm saying? You got to be mindful of what other people want. Yes, I could put my own flavor to it, but you still got to be mindful of what people want when they read a book. You know, so it's like when you drive on the street, the speed limit is 55. But just because I want to go 100, I can't go 100 because it says 55. And I got to be mindful of everybody else on the street. And it's the same thing to write the book. So,
Did publishing your first book change your process of writing?
It changed my process of writing because pretty much I got to be mindful of what people want, all the while putting my own twist to it, in summary. Because my first book was actually I Hate My Job. It wasn't Thick When the Chances Are Slim. It was I Hate My Job under another name. But because I didn't like the book and I didn't get a bad reception, but I understood that it was too wordy. It didn't have enough action. It didn't have like entertainment value. So I just used that experience for my other books and realized that this is not the 1950s where people could take their time reading a book. They could soak in the words that you're writing. When you're an author, you're competing with the internet, your phone, your spouse, social media, the radio, satellite radio, mass media, cable, Netflix. You know, you're competing with a lot of stimuli. So you got to hit them. You got to hit them from the gate. So that's what I learned. You got to hit them from the gate and keep them there. Once you get their attention, then their attention has to stay on what they're reading. So that's what I learned when I got in the game since then.
Now, let me ask you now, do you feel the characters in your novel, do you feel they reality or fiction?
They're reality. They're based on, some of them are based on my own thought because I have voices in my head. And I made a joke on Facebook that says, I'm glad they invented Bluetooth so I can talk to myself without looking weird. You know what I'm saying? So I have like a lot of characters in my head, and it's like a blending between the voices in my head and people who I see every day. Because I like to ride buses and trains, and in New York City you see a lot of interesting characters. So I take from what I see, and I put it in a pot of gumbo. I put it in a pot of gumbo and see what I come up with. And I'll be like, voila, my characters.
Mm. Okay, okay. Now, what kind of research do you do, and how long do you spend researching before you begin a book?
Well, my research is so far my research has been my imagination and what I've been through and through the perspectives of other people, because I entered the best research as far as the You, Me, Us, Them, the Swinger Manifesto. The best research is actually politicking with people, talking to people, and based on from what I see on social media and based on, you know, Google research, because even though I'm in the swinger lifestyle, I don't know everything. So I talk to the OGs, I talk to the veterans, and I made Google search a few things, and my own personal experiences and other people's experiences. So I put that in the blender and come up with a protein shake of a good read. You dig?
Now, how long?
Yeah, give you that mental nourishment. What you say?
Oh, okay. Now, how long does it actually take you to write a novel, a book?
Well, I give myself 9 months, you know, like a baby being born, because you can't rush perfection. You know, because nine is the number of completion. So I give myself 9 months.
So do you give yourself 9 months. So do you view your writing as a kind of spiritual practice?
Of course. Because everything, we're spiritual creatures in human form. So when I write, I make sure I put some soul in it. Even during my sex scene, in my erotic scene, you know, I make sure that you feel what I'm writing, and everything I'm writing is not in vain. You can't waste words.
Okay, I feel you on that. So what's the most difficult thing about writing characters from the opposite sex?
Oh, that's a good question. You really have to get into the mind of a woman and disregard your perspective as a man. It's like sometimes it's funny you ask that, because sometimes when I'm writing a female character, or if I'm writing from the perspective of a female character, I got to be mindful of how a woman is wired or how a woman would say things. Because I was raised around women. The majority of the people in my family are women. So I flash back to the conversations I've heard between the women in my family and also my sister's friends. And from what I see on Facebook, some of the stuff that women say. So men and women have different ideas and different thoughts about certain things. But it's my job as a writer to step out the gender, the male gender, and think like a woman. I may not agree with it per se, but I have to empathize how that woman is feeling. I have to understand how that woman is feeling and how she's wired to think in order to execute that female character.
Now, I feel you on that. Now, let me ask you. How do you select the names of your characters?
I make sure the names are names. The names of the characters are names that aren't used on a regular basis. Like take You, Me, Us, Them. The name of the main character is Niccolo. Now, Niccolo is the name of Machiavelli. Niccolo Machiavelli. So how many Niccolos do you know? You know what I'm saying? So I strive to make it unique. How many Qataris that you know? Qatari or Cat for short is Niccolo's main squeeze of the book. You dig? So I make sure that it's common, but it's uncommon, that you can remember. So you can remember certain names of the character. Or when you think of Old Dog, you think of Minister Society. When you think of Bishop, you think of Juice. You dig? So I want that same effect. When you think of this, the name of this character, I want you to think of my book. You dig?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you hide any secrets in your book that only a few people will find out or know about?
Well, I mean, writing a book about the swinger lifestyle is a secret enough. You know, then because it's supposed to be a secret. So that right there is self-explanatory. But the reason why that I have to write a book because it's so much. It's like people just think it's about sex. So I had no choice but to break the code of secrecy and give them the real, because they think it's Eyes Wide Shut. When they think of the swinger lifestyle, they think of Eyes Wide Shut, or they think of 50 Shades of Grey. But I'm like, my book is too hot to be under 50 Shades. You dig? So I'm going to give you my version of what the lifestyle is about, because I experienced it. And I'm just not giving you the superficial part of sex. I'm giving you the mind, body, and soul of each character.
So what's the hardest and what's the easiest thing about writing a novel?
The easiest part is the characters. I'm good at character development. I'm great at characters, writing my characters. The hard part is coming up with an ending. That's the hard part for me. I could come up with a beginning and a middle, but it's climaxing the book. And also coming up with ways to keep the people entertained. You know, it's like you got to bend your brain like a pretzel to make sure that people aren't bored. Because if I'm bored with my book, then my thought is that everybody else is going to be bored. So that's how I approach my work.
So what advice can you give these young authors out here trying to better themselves and get to where you are?
Well, make sure that you grind, that you promote, that you shake hands and kiss babies. Make sure that you come up with your own style. Don't do what everybody else is doing. You know, unless you're a twin, there's a reason why that you reached the egg out of billions. So you have to manifest that reality into your book. Because I see a lot of books, it looks the same. I can't tell the difference. It's like all these book covers, they look like party flyers. So like flyers to go to the club and turn up. So you got to be original. You have to be entertaining. You have to grind. You have to find ways to promote. Just don't do it on social media. Like go on YouTube. Promote yourself on YouTube. Promote yourself on various websites. Hit up print out flyers and go to these social events. Link up with other organizations that's related to what you want to write about. You have to do things other than posting snippets and links to your damn book, because that's elementary. You have to hit the grind. You have to hit the pavement 10 toes solid. If you go to a book fair, you may have to steal a table on the low, you know what I'm saying, instead of paying for it. Or you could just go up and, you know what I'm saying, you got to take risks if you really want it. So you have to really want this. You have to, this is not a hobby. This is a full-time gig. If you have a job, then you have to find ways to mix your job and what you really want to do in life, your profession. So it's really time. What you put in is what you get out. And speaking of YouTube, I'm coming out with a podcast this summer. It's going to be called Swingers After Dark. That's Swingers After Dark. And it's going to be, right now I'm pre-recording episodes. So far I got 30 episodes. And I plan on uploading them either in June or August. So... And then I'm going to do lives, and I'm going to take calls and do all that good stuff. But it's called Swingers After Dark, and I'm using this podcast as a vehicle to vet people or to give people knowledge about the swinger lifestyle. So they, if they're interested in going, then they would know how to move. They would know what to expect and what not to expect. They won't embarrass themselves. It's pretty much a vetting process. I don't like to speak. That's why I went to school as a print journalist and not a broadcast journalist. But like I told you before, you have to grind. You have to do things that you don't want to do. You have to do things that you're uncomfortable with doing. And I don't like to speak, but I have to do this podcast in order to do something out the box, in order to do something that would further my career and give people a verbal connection with me, because blogging is dead. Like the blogging, like these blog sites, that's dead. It's all about video blogs now. People not reading blogs anymore. I don't get the same hits like I used to get for my blogger site. So now I got to do the YouTube thing. So you got to adapt or you're going to get killed. It's Darwinism, baby, survival of the fittest.
I definitely feel you. So let me ask you something. You know, you have your book reviews and all that. How do you deal with the bad or good ones?
I never got a review less than 4 stars. So I wouldn't know. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to tell everybody who's listening. If you're going to give me a bad review, just tell me why you don't like it. Like, I have thick skin. I have alligator skin, as what my grandma used to say. And if you're gonna say it's trash, break down why you think it's trash. Just don't say it's whack, and then give me 1 star, 2 stars.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, now you hating. You know what I'm saying? It's like you hating.
Exactly.
But if you break down from A to Z and Z to A, and tell me why you didn't like the book, and it's legit, then I'm gonna take heed. You know, so I have no problem with constructive criticism. Key word. Constructive criticism. I have no problem with that because that's how I'm going to sharpen my sword as an author. And to be honest with you, I think the good reviews is a gift and a curse. It's a gift because it's good marketing, because people seeing that it's a good book. I'm writing good books. But it's bad because I'm kind of handicapped. I don't know what my flaws are. I don't know what I'm bad at. When I tell people, what didn't you like about the book? They say, oh, I didn't know. I don't know. It's like I really can't get a comprehensive reasoning of what they dislike about the book. They may say certain things, but it's not to the point that it's going to flash that light bulb in my head for me to take into consideration for my next project.
I tell you. Now,
so people out there in blogger land, if you're going to write a bad review about my book, make sure you break it down to the teeth.
Well, you know what?
Instead of saying it's whack, because that's lame.
I got your book here. I got to find which one I was reading. And believe me, ain't nothing lame about it. I definitely give it 5 stars. Me and the wife got your book when we both was reading. I got to put that out there, too. Now,
if you like those books, then you'll most definitely like You, Me, Us, Them. Because that's my best work to date. Anyway, what you was going to say?
What's your most unethical practice in the publishing industry?
That's a good question. I don't think it's unethical, but I paid for interviews. And I had sex with a few book club members, but with ladies book club members, but I think that's unethical, but yeah, like you're not supposed to sleep with your fans, with your admirers, but hey, they wanted to see if what I'm writing is real. So if I'm attracted to them and they're attracted to me and one thing leads to another, then itty bitty bang bang, we gonna do the damn do. Now
he's still crazy, man.
So, but that's the closest thing as unethical is like dipping in the sauce and, you know, sleeping with the help. But other than that, as I mature, I'm learning to not to defecate where I eat, as to get an educational version of that. So don't play where you rest. So don't do dirt from where you really rest your head at.
Oh, for sure. Now, is your book self-published or with a publishing company?
It's independent. See, anybody could self-publish, but it's independent because I have a staff. So it's independent. I have a publicist. I have people who help me promote. So I call it independent because anybody can upload a book to freaking Amazon or any other social media site and boom, they can say I'm an author, but they don't have a staff, they don't have direction, they don't have a marketing plan, a promotional tool. So I have all of that.
I definitely feel you on that. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? It's the difference. There's a difference between an independent label and a dude just selling his CD on Westchester, on the Bruckner, on freaking 3rd Avenue in the Bronx. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And freaking in Times Square hawking his mixtape. You know, that's a difference.
Yeah, absolutely right. So where do you see yourself with your novel, just say 3 years from now?
I'm actually looking into video editing. Like probably take a course into video editing because I want to do short film. Because that's the next step. You know, first is writing books, then doing the podcast, and now I want to eventually go into short films, like do like episodes of my books. Well, mainly with the swing series because I'm more into the swing series than I am with the thick books. The thick books was just like they're good on their own in their own right, but they was more so like target practice. But I'm really feeling the swing series and I want to do short clips, like film, direct, produce short clips of the swinger lifestyle. So that's the next step and put it on YouTube and I don't want to pitch it because I don't want to pitch it to any networks because, like, Netflix and Amazon and whatever the case, because you have no leverage. I would rather build up my fan base and build what I'm doing so I can have negotiation leverage for my short films. So pretty much short films are pretty much the next wave. Well, right now, the new wave.
Wow.
Because you have all these... Yeah, you have all these web series popping off, these webisodes. So I might as well I might as well get in the mix.
So is there anything about Nas Son that we did not get into that you want the listeners to know?
Just to know me is to love me, you know. I could speak my mind at times, but just know that it's out of love and it's not out of malice. Because I could be a difficult person at times, but, you know, to understand me is to love me because understanding is the highest form of love. So just get to know me, and I'm like an everyday person. You know, I put my legs in my pants to put on my jeans. I put on my pants one leg at a time. I do the same things that everybody do. So, you know, I'm just me. I'm just Nas Son. Nas Son,
baby. Let me ask you one more question. Out of your novels, which one would you say is the best novel you wrote?
Oh, this current You, Me, Us, Them, by far.
You, Me, Us,
Them. It blows my other books out the water to the point where I want to disown them. That's how dope this book is. You know, not to necessarily disregard my past work because it shows my growth as a writer, but this book is the beginning of greatness because I really put my all into this book and I really perfected the craft of storytelling. So it's this book by far, and as you see me grow as an author as the years go by, then you will see me reach my pinnacle. Granted that I will be able to see that day. So it is this book, You, Me, Us, Them, and you know you could get the ebook on Amazon. You could get the ebook on Barnes and Noble, Amazon Kindle, Barnes and Noble Nook, and Google Play. And I'm going to upload it to Apple iBook soon. So just anybody could check out my website, www.nasunblaze.com. That's www.nasunblaze.com. Or just Google me. Just Google Nasun. NASUN. Or just NASUN. And check me out, Doug. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. And check out my book, You, Me, Us, Them. Y-O-U, Me, M-E, Us, U-S, Them. T-H-E-M, You, Me, Us, Them, The Swinger Manifesto. Go get it. It's the best book out there because I said it and because I wrote it. And you won't be let down.
Definitely, definitely. Yo, Nah, you know, it's always an honor having you on, man. I'm going to get that joint, You, Me, Us, Them, because I read your book. As a matter of fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was In the Thick of Things. It was either
That's the second book. And the Thick of Things is the second book in the Thick series.
I believe it was either was Thick in the Nick of Time.
Thick in the Nick of Time is the second book, and the Thick of Things is the third book. Yeah, my bad. Yeah.
Okay, it was the second one. It was the second one.
Yeah, but check this out though. If you don't have the Kindle app on your phone, you could get it on the Amazon link. If anybody out there, if you don't have an e-reader, you could download the free Kindle app once you go to the You, Me, Us, Them Amazon page. And they give you like an option by the book cover to download the Kindle app so you could buy the Kindle e-book to read it to your phone. So if you don't have an e-reader, you can download the free Kindle app on the Amazon page of You, Me, Us, Them, The Swinger Manifesto. And, you know, you can get it popping from then. And, you know, I'm not going to BS people time because time is something you can't get back. I put my all into this work, and, you know, I'm not going to give you no time. I'm not going to Tom and Jerry you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to put your hands on a damn ceiling and watch it get bashed. I'm gonna give you that perfection. I'm not gonna give you that fast food book. I'm gonna give you that Thanksgiving dinner that your mom had put her foot in because she wanted to make sure that you ate well. So that's the point I'm making. This is fast food. Oh, well, it's not fast food, but it's soul food. Everything else is fast food that you just eat it and you know go to the bathroom 5 minutes later and you got the itis. But this, my book, is not only soul food, but it's also energy because the food that you put in your system is supposed to give you energy and it's not supposed to give you the itis. So when you read my book, it's going to give you the energy to try something different with your spouse, to try something different in a bedroom, you dig, that you never thought before. Or you might go to a swingers club and be a voyeur and see if you really want to do it or not, you dig?
I feel you. I feel you. Yo, Nah, you know it's always a pleasure having you on. You welcome back. And also, if you got that link so I can push it out as well for that You, Me, Us, Them, send that to me. Hit me up with that so I can definitely put a blast out on that. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna send you the link through all the avenues. Email and your inbox and phone and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I could definitely put a blast out. And you know you're welcome anytime. Let us. Do you have any book signings, anything coming up anytime soon?
I may throw a meet and greet in Maryland in the DMV at this place called Willie Cave. It's outside of D.C. It's in Greenbelt, Maryland. And I may throw a meet and greet June 23rd. So that's under wraps. But as far as book signings, I haven't done a book signing in a minute because, you know, I'm doing well off of these e-books. And truth be told, a lot of these bookstores that are now closed or closing, they were pimping me. It was like I felt like I was getting pimped because they would give me 60% and they would get 40%. But I'm like, why are you getting 40% when you're not even promoting my book signing? Because there have been times when people come to the store, to the bookstore, when I'm there, and either the people coming to the bookstore, they don't know I'm there, they didn't know I'm there, or the people who are running the store, the cashiers, they wouldn't tell their patrons that an author is in the house. So I was like, I felt like I was getting pimped. So I was like, well, why am I doing this when I could just release ebooks? Because ebooks is a blessing in disguise. So it was like, why? It's like I'm doing. Listen, when an author, the reason why a lot of bookstores they don't care which author are doing book signings at their store is because you're giving them traffic. The people who you trafficking to their store, they may not buy your book, but because you're bringing them to the store, they may buy something else. So it's a win-win situation for the bookstore. And I learned that. But I want to shout out Black and Nobel in Philly, in North Philly. Hit up the Black and Nobel bookstore in Philly because they're the only bookstore who didn't give me money on consignment. They gave me my money outright. You know what I'm saying? They gave me money from the gate. They said, how many books you got? I'm going to buy them off for you. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And also, this dude named, I forgot his name because he's not even selling books anymore. But he used to throw a stand in East Orange, New Jersey called Novelties. And he also bought my books off me without a consignment. But I just want to shout out Black and Nobel in North Philly. Hit up Black and Nobel. It's on Broad and Erie in North Philly. Hit them up because they showed me love. And they're the only bookstore who I would shout out until the day I die.
Wow. Definitely feel you. Definitely feel you. You're definitely doing big things, fam. And, you know, GQ Palace, we support you 110%. You know? Whatever you need for us or whatever it is, you know, we got you. Just hit me up and let me know.
No doubt. Thanks for the love.
No doubt. It's definitely an honor having you on. You're welcome back anytime. We definitely going to push that book, You, Me, Us, and Them. But I'm definitely going to link into that. But I know it's over. It's my wife got it. But she read a lot of her books on Kindle now.
Yeah, she got Kindle. She already have Kindle. So she can just go to Amazon and one click. So she already there.
Yeah, exactly.
She already in the mix.
Exactly. But, Joe, you know you're welcome back anytime now. It's never a problem. Just hit me up, and we're going to make it happen and make it do what it do.
No doubt, and likewise. I'll holler at y'all later and tell wifey I said what's up.
No doubt, for sure. Nah, son, Dons and Divas. Wow, my man, Nah, son, he's doing a lot of things, so y'all better get up on it. Once again, I'm going to read y'all his novels, you know, that he got out right now. You know, Thick When Chances Are Slim, Thick in the Nick of Time, In the Thick of Things, Thick Girls and Guys Who Love Them, and You, Me, Us, and Them. Make sure you check his novel out on Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Nobles, and ebook. He's definitely doing it and definitely taking it to a whole nother level. I want to thank y'all all for tuning in tonight. Once again, we send our condolences to the school out in Texas, you know, where the shooter killed the teacher. And I'm pretty sure I heard that it's like eight dead now. You know, it's bad, though. You know, I understand life is short, so we got to live it to the fullest. Let's put down the guns, y'all. You know, think before you react. You know, don't think negative as well. Negative thoughts give negative results. I'm your host, Rich Money. Y'all have a safe and blessed weekend. We out. This is GQ College Radio, Love and Entertainment. Rich Butter, baby.
A wise man always told me, if you look for what you'll find, whether it be bad or good. So when I had some infidelity thoughts going on in my mind about my home, I got my little partner that stayed next door to watch my house while I went to work. So when I pulled back up, he had some news for me. He came to me and said, Mr. Bagger, I got something I need to tell you. He said, somebody been treated. Somebody been but it ain't yours. Somebody's been cheating, yeah. But it ain't yours. I said, Mike, what are you trying to tell me, Mike? He told me it ain't always what it seems to be. And he told me that.
Don't blame it on Jody. He's tired of taking the blame. Why you watching what Jody do? She creeping with Jane. Jane come through in your house, yeah. Why you still there? And they'll talk about fooling around. To tell you about, though it won't happen to you in your house, I'd be less than a man, yeah. Not to put you on game,
not to put you on game.
See, my girl was creeping on me with a bed.
Mind.